Hey, welcome back, Slingers. This week we're talking to Heath Armstrong. He's going to tell us all about going from face down, pants down alcoholic to author and entrepreneur. So you're going to want to stick around for that. Coming up next. Hey, how you doing on money? I know it's a touchy subject, but I got something that may help you out. See, I'm using an app called Acorns, and it helps me manage some investing, put some money back, get a little interest. It's kind of nice to watch my money grow. So I want to share that with you. Go to kevintomlinson.com/acorns, and you'll get some free money. See you there.
It's the Word Slinger Podcast, where story matters. Build your brand, write your book, redefine who you are. It's all about the story here. What's yours? Now, here's the guy who invented pants optional, Kevin Tomlinson, the Word Slinger.
Word Slinger.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the very first Word Slinger podcast episode of 2020. We're in the roaring 20s. We made it. We made it out of the aughts and teens and into the 20s. Now, I don't want to hear any of this guff about the decade doesn't start until 2021 or whatever. That's ridiculous. Come on. It's 2020. We're in the 20s. All right. So keep your comments to yourself. I hope everybody had a wonderful holiday season and a wonderful new year. I want to start by, I've announced this on social media in a couple of places, but I wanted to put something here, kind of like a memorial. My dad passed away on the last day of the year, on New Year's Eve. And, you know, he had dealt with lung cancer. He'd been ill for a while. The thing about it is, when he adopted me and my brother, so that I get my Tomlinson name from this man, Cecil Tomlinson. He adopted me when I was 4 years old, and they stayed together until I was 14, so 10 years. When we parted ways, you know, he sat with me. I was the last one to leave the home. I was the last one to, my mom and my brother went to my grandparents' home, which was just across the way, a block or so away, across the pasture from where we lived, honestly. They had gone. I was going to ride my bike over. Cecil sat me down and said, I know we never got along. Those words shattered me, because I had no idea that we hadn't gotten along. But as it turned out, we had, you know, in his opinion, and in a lot of people's opinion, we had very little in common. And maybe it's because of that, that for the next 30 some odd years, we were estranged. We had barely any contact, no real phone calls, no visits. There was a lot that happened in there that created hurt and created division and kept us from having a relationship with each other. And then just before Christmas, a couple of days before Christmas, he and I had a chance to sit and chat in his hospital room at the VA hospital, because he was a veteran, served proudly in Vietnam, and we had a chance to talk. We had a chance to say what we needed to say. He was being very honest there at the end. He was always an honest man, actually. But I had a chance to tell him that there was nothing to apologize for, nothing. No grudges held. No, you know, I'm not going to say no regrets, because I do regret that we didn't have a relationship for all those years. So anyway, that said, and I don't mean to bum you out, but there's a point. And I wanted to make it before we get into the interview, because the interview is a little tongue-in-cheek. Should perk you up. But I wanted to say this because I wanted to make this statement. Whatever is keeping you from that someone in your life that you loved once, maybe you still love them, but you're not communicating. Maybe they're holding a grudge against you. Maybe you're holding a grudge against them. Do everything you can to make that relationship right. And I mean everything. Go all the way. Don't wait for someone to meet you halfway. Sometimes they can't. Sometimes they're just not able to. So this is your opportunity. This is the one. This is the one you get. Go out, connect, say you love them, do whatever you gotta do. If they reject you, they reject you. If they yell at you, hate you, curse your name, that's fine. It may hurt, but the point here is, don't miss the opportunity to say to them what you need to say to them, because it can all end any time. And with that, again, I am not, I'm sad at the loss of my dad, and I am a little regretful, but I also feel incredibly blessed that I had the opportunity to say goodbye, to make things clear, make things square, as I put it in the social post. And when he went, we were good. So, okay. Now, let's hop in. Let's turn things up a little and go upbeat. And Heath, if you're listening, I apologize for introing your video or your podcast quite this way, but I hope you understand. But I had the chance to chat with Heath. This was way back in June, actually, so I'm glad I'm getting to run this now. I had a chance to chat with Heath about everything he's worked on. He's the co-founder of Rage Create. He has the Never Stop Peaking podcast. He's, you know, he's got all these cool things going on. We're going to talk about a lot of this. So this was a fun interview, and Heath is a very inspirational guy. So I hope you take something inspirational from this and run right into 2020, the roaring 20s, feeling fully inspired, feeling educated and entertained. Informed, all the things that are part of my little mantra. And without further ado, let's jump in and hear what Heath has to say about how he went from, as he puts it, a face down, pants down alcoholic to an author and entrepreneur. So stick around the other side and I'll see you there. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another Wordslinger podcast interview. I know we got the whole solo show now, but I actually kind of dig the interviews because it gives me a chance to talk to people like our guest today, Heath Armstrong. He is a creative writer. He's the co-founder of Rage Create. He's the creator of the Sweet Ass Journal to develop your happiness muscle in 100 days. Everyone needs to develop that muscle, man. So welcome to the show. Thanks for being on, Heath.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. It's fun to see you and interact with you.
You too. You got a whole podcast thing going yourself with the Never Stop Peaking podcast. Peaking,
I do.
P-E-A-K, not P-E-E-K.
It can have a very dirty pickup on that sometimes. People are like, what is that necessarily about? You like interviewing
porn? Yeah, it does drive things in a different direction. Like now I want to start the Never Stop Peaking podcast. It's like this voyeuristic podcast where I'm quietly whispering in the bushes outside of people's windows. Right.
You can apply it to so many things in life though, man, like personal optimization. I'm a mind strength junkie and I like to do mountaineering and rock climbing and stuff. And I realized from, you know, being an ex-alcoholic and working in the concrete industry for so many years that when I started figuring out that just developing your habits that are around your happiness, that really is the foundation for everything else. And it is kind of a game to just never stop peaking, like keep going up, you know, and just
right.
Love it and live it.
It's, my it's wife better. And I, we were having a conversation just before this call about, cause this is something that comes up a lot. You've heard this, I know, cause you study some of the same folks I do. But this idea that, you know, it's not the goal. It's not achieving your goal that leads to success. It's that journey to achieving the goal. That's why so many people get to, like they say, I want to start this business and I want to make $10 million. And then when they hit that, they become depressed.
Yeah. Hedonic adaptation, man.
Yeah. It's yeah. Really- exactly. So you are, like I said, you're studying a lot of the same folks I am. So you're kind of, tell me a little bit about the Sweet Ass Journal and the stuff that's associated with that. What's going on there?
Yeah, the Sweet Ass Journal is, it's kind of an interesting situation. And even there's a lot of Honoré Corder influence in that too, which we had talked about pre-show. Yeah, she was a big staple for me early on. Yeah, so like 2011, I was working, and I worked in the concrete construction industry for a long time. And I basically, to not take this massive long story and make it really long, because I can easily do that. I woke up, I had a rock bottom moment where I woke up face down on my garage floor with my pants actually down a little bit, a bloody nose, a bottle of liquor in my hand, and just, I didn't have the strength to get up to go to the front yard where my car was still parked and it was still running. Oh, and I had no recollection of the past, like, I don't even know, 24, 30 hours. And I pulled myself inside and like, I realized that if I didn't make changes, that something drastic was going to happen. And a couple years before that, 2008, the end of 2008, early 2009-ish, I had met this guy on a plane who was being extradited from Rwanda, which you should talk to on your show because he's amazing. By the way, I'm still really good friends with him. He was imprisoned in Rwanda for 4 months for fighting for gender equality. His name's Jared Angaza. He has an amazing podcast called Noetic. And Jared just asked me this one question that changed my thought process before the rock bottom moments. And it was kind of like why I started teetering down to this depression state, because I knew I wasn't in alignment with it. He just said, like, where are you going? And I was like, oh, I'm going to like interview to work on this oil rigger in the Gulf or something. And he was like, oh yeah, you love that? And I was like, no. I mean, this guy was covered in tattoos and stuff, like ass, because he'd been, you know, who knows what he had been through in this prison in Rwanda.
Right.
And he scared me. Like, he scared my, everything about me was scared of this guy. He was like, well then why are you doing it? You know? And he sent me a copy of his father's book. His father ends up being Dan Miller, who is a huge podcaster.
Yeah.
Dude, it's so, such a small world, weird thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. His father ends up being Dan Miller. Sends me No More Mondays back when he puts that out. I start thinking like, oh my God, every single Friday, I'm like, I'm so happy. And then on Monday, I feel like I want to jump off a bridge. And then I just start wishing my time away, trying to get Saturday to come here. I'm like, I'm wishing away my weeks. I'm wishing away my life. I'm wishing away my family and my friends. This is insane. And I became very depressed because I knew I couldn't, I wasn't able to figure out how to stop myself from doing it. And then I had the rock bottom moment. And then so 2014, 3 more years after that of struggling with alcoholism, I had another really bad rock bottom moment, very similar to the one in 2011. But over those years, I kept getting these flashes back of Jared and what he was telling me. Yeah. And then I had, I just had an experience where I like came out of the rock bottom moment and was like, I'm just going to reach out and ask for help. And I did that to a girl named Amber Ludwig, who is now Amber Vilhauer. She runs No Guts, No Glory Enterprises, does a lot of like book marketing and stuff. She's amazing. And she just like called me and was like, changed my mindset on everything. She was like, dude, people do care. Like, you can make changes. Here's what you need to do. And she introduced me to two people, another small world thing. She introduced me to a guy named Hal Elrod, who wrote The Miracle Morning.
Yeah, Miracle Morning, yeah.
And of course, that's how I found Honoré. And she introduced me to a guy named Paul Kemp, who used to run a big podcast called The App Guy, which I don't think he does anymore. Mm-hmm. Paul took me under his wing and taught me how to podcast and start interviewing people so that I could figure out what they were doing to become successful and then apply it to my life and then make a transition myself. So I started doing that through my old podcast, which was called The Archpreneur Now. And it was kind of branded wrong, but it was The Artsy Now Show. And through that system of interviews, I was just like pulling in all this information from, I mean, people like Amber and Honoré. Honoré was on that show. Like, Hal was on that show. There was a lot of people that I was learning these, like, just these daily routines, you know, like these very simple things that revolve around happiness and gratitude.
Yeah.
Paying attention to things that matter. What is it? What kind of effect does having a gift have on you scientifically? And just like, how does it make you feel? You know? And this system became a series where I had like these 6 different journals laying around basically. And I was just like filling them all out every day and tracking and making all this progress, where I eventually was able to quit my job. And I created an e-commerce business where I did, I had a 6-figure month within 4 months of starting that, which was insane. And and that was all Amazon, like kind of resale based.
Yeah.
And I was able to leave my job, but then I went back to the system of journals because my black lab actually went down in the basement and peed all over them. And I was like, oh, I can't use them anymore. And my coach at the time was like, you know, that means that you should just put them into a system that other people can use. And I was like, well, why would anyone want to do that? And then I realized like, wow, maybe that is something people could use. And so I just made this very simple mosaic style journal that walks people through 100 days of, you know, sustaining these habits that are evolved around happiness. And yeah. it includes all sorts of things that you've probably hit on this show several times.
So what you're telling me right now is that anybody who has used your stuff and had some breakthrough moment has dog pee to thank for all.
Yes, dude. And I actually made the dedication of the journal to Arlo because of his moment. I remember it specifically. That dog never went in the house, and I had to look at it like, this is a universal sign because, yeah, I got to do something with this now. I'm not going to create six new ones. I'm just going to put it into one system. And it's been brilliant, man. It's been cool seeing, you know, people contact and tag me every single day between that and the affirmation deck about how it's helping them. And I mean, it's not rocket science stuff. It's all very simple stuff about setting a vision over 100 days, like Honoré taught me, and then doing two things per day to move towards it while wrapping that all in a big hug of things that develop your happiness at the same time. So it's very, very direct. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. See, you know, this is the kind of stuff. So that, I mean, I had already been looking into a lot of this before I met Honoré. And then I met her at a conference, and she basically, out of that conference, she decided to build the whole Prosperity for Writers thing that she was doing. And I immediately signed up to be a part of that. You know, I mean, I was already kind of, that was already a mindset thing for me anyway, but I'm like, this is an opportunity to hang out with a bunch of writers who are working on their mindset. This is brilliant. Like, I'm in. So she was great. She's been a great influence.
It's so direct and authentic, and it makes all the difference in the world, and in a marketing world where it's hard to find it, you know?
Yeah.
And she did a lot of things, just like pointed me in directions that I'm forever grateful for. And she's a beast to watch, just like how she pushes this content out. And it's amazing. It's always good. And it's always kind of like easy, you know, it's quick and easy and applicable to any situation. So it's nice.
Excellent. Yeah. So what about the deck? It's an affirmation deck. How does that work?
Yeah. So I
randomly deal one out or what?
In a way, there's so many different ways you can use them. And I'm actually learning a lot from the people that buy them. You know, we did a Kickstarter to launch that project, but the premise was I am a little bit unfiltered, and I've used affirmation decks out there before, but they're very just, you know, woo woo. Like, they're very, you know, I'm a butterfly and everything's happy and that's cool. But in reality, like, I worked in construction in Kentucky forever. And like, my purpose on this earth is to help activate other people to understand that they have more power than they think, and then allow them to move into that. And I was looking at like the people around me, like, you know, I couldn't give them this affirmation deck over here because they're going to be like, what the fuck? Like, this is ridiculous. Right. This is dog shit. This doesn't work. And then as I was learning how to find my voice through a lot of Honoré's teachings, I realized like there really were not any affirmation cards out there that just had like a lot of wit and a little bit of profanity and sassiness and just like real authentic lifestyle stuff in it. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to create like a deck of cards where basically the front is an affirmation and the back is kind of like this big burst of motivation on that same subject to try to get somebody's Heine and gear a little bit more, because I really do think that we're built with all of the motivation we ever need when we're born. And we have these layers that are stacked upon us from, you know, marketing or whatever we get involved with that just kind of makes us think a certain way. But really, we don't need any more motivation. What we need is just to break our habit of hesitation. So then I was like, well, how do I make somebody think differently in just a couple seconds? Like, how do I help them make a decision quicker to move towards, you know, to get in alignment with that intuition and move towards that person that they should be becoming, as opposed to procrastinating and, you know, getting beat down by the resistance gremlins and falling down a rabbit hole of conformity that doesn't get them in alignment with that. Right. And so I was like, I have all these different ideas from putting affirmations on toilet paper and all these other areas that you're not likely to see them, so that it's just like kind of like an, oh, reminder, like, oh, I'm gonna have to use the restroom. Oh, that's a reminder. But the first step for me was to put them in a deck of cards that people could kind of like hide everywhere, hand out. And it's been a fantastic, it's been the coolest project ever, dude, because like, I'm just getting tagged constantly with these cards, and they're so different from other affirmation cards that people are like really gravitating to them and sharing them. And it's opened up like a whole world of opportunity. And then we were able to go and make a cool video for it, which was the first video type of thing I've ever been involved with, which I fell in love with. So I was asking about your camera earlier because I'm like really interested in creating
video. I have a camera. So there's two things I'm obsessed with and spend a ton of money on: cameras and keyboards. And I have a 100 of each in every description. So,
so you're the guy.
They're very important to me.
I'm gonna be trying to get through your wall so I can
do it, man. Maybe we should build a. You gave me an inspiration now for an affirmation Cards Against Humanity kind of game.
A game, yeah.
We can pull it together,
dude. There's I've been trying to figure out like mood maps to use with my cards and stuff, because there are ways to do it, but there's a couple different audiences that are gravitating towards it, and one of them is actually like the tarot audience, like they're using this kind of like an intuitive way to draw cards and experience. And I've seen some really weird synchronistic things happen with people who draw these cards too, so that's, it's just like there's something that's dialed into it that's beyond me, man. And
it's, you know, like, I have this philosophy that, you know, I'm a big believer in there being a power greater than us out there, and that we are able to tap into that. And I feel like when you go look, it's that seek and you will find, you know, knock on the door will be open to you, scriptural kind of thing. But it's when you start applying this concept of like law of attraction and that, and, you know, go in that direction. When you start looking for answers, you know, they'll come to you, that synchronicity idea. So I think that's that, to me, that's how that works.
Like, it's very real.
You've created something. Yeah. So, okay. I want to talk about the practical aspects though, what you did there. Cause you created this card deck. Like, how did this come about? Like, did you go find someone who makes this sort of thing? And like, I'm always interested in the mechanics of that, of that sort of thing.
So the deck was interesting. I was sitting in Portland with my friend who I did a lot of online Amazon stuff with, and I was like, man, you know reselling sports and outdoor gear and stuff is cool, but like I really like writing, and the journal had been out at this time, and I was starting to see the effects that I could actually have on people to make better versions of their lives, and I fell in love with it. And I was like, I've always wanted to make an affirmation deck that's just like, you know, real. It's real stuff that like can actually apply things. And And he was like, well, let's just do it right now. And I was like, what? He's like, nice. let's just write some stuff out. And I was like, and that's all it ever is, right? It's like action. You can have all the ideas you want, but until you take action, you're never going to connect those dots.
Exactly.
So as soon as you take action, you're affirming to the universe that you really care about it. And then all these things start trickling into your life to help you bring it to reality. If you notice them, and if you stay true to them, because there's always going to be distractions and gremlins that try to stop you too. But we sketched out the first 20 of the cards, the front sayings, basically, on a piece of paper. I still have it. I actually think I posted it on the Kickstarter when we did the Kickstarter last year.
Yeah.
Because I went to the Philippines, and I have a lot of my team members are in the Philippines, and I sat with them, and we created this whole plan, and it was cool to go through those old versions. And yeah, we sketched it out, had no idea how to manufacture anything, had no idea how to make decks or to sell decks, had no idea how to do a Kickstarter. But just like anything else, you just start kind of reaching out and telling people what you want to do, and asking them about it. Like, I was always the person before that was scared to say, hey, this guy did a successful Kickstarter, why would he want to talk to me, you know? But then I learned very quickly through podcasting that people really do want to talk to you. They really do want to share. Like, when someone comes to me, I really do want to share creative solutions with them. And I'm not looking for anything in return, you know? And so, yeah, I started interviewing people that had done Kickstarters to figure that stuff out, started putting the team together around it. And then I just continued writing these cards, and it was actually pretty tough. Cause when I start 2 months after I started, I was like all in, like ready to go. And then I basically April 13th, 2017, I woke up and Amazon froze my account for an expired credit card, but it took me a month to figure out. And I lost like all of the money I had built up. I lost 20 grand. I had to lay off all these employees. The same exact day, my dog, the love of my life, died from an unexpected tumor, and my grandfather died, and I had to fly to Ohio. So I'm like in this position where I was just like, I don't know what's going on. Like, everything's just gone that I just spent, you know, I just left my job a year ago and finally got to this point. And now what am I going to do? But it actually ended up being the best thing ever, man, because all of that emotion, it went straight into my creativity. Like, I could have used that to go back to drinking or to like go back to doing something that was completely unproductive or spread negativity throughout the world, but I didn't. I went and I sat down and I just felt that pain and those feelings, and I put each one of those experiences into a card.
Yeah.
And then that card really turned into what it is. And then over that next, you know, 2000, so that was 2017, 2018 was actually when I went to the Philippines and put the team together. It takes time to do these things. And we launched the Kickstarter. I found a manufacturer just by asking, man, some random person just like heard me talking, I think, and then tipped me off on somebody that they knew who made cards, like playing cards.
Isn't that funny?
Their manufacturer. Yeah. It all just trickles.
Random in. Person.
Yeah. It's like, hey, what did you say? Oh, I know somebody who makes playing cards. Like,
right.
Who do they come from? It is, no one's going to come to you and just tell you something. You have to ask questions. You have to tell the universe what you want. And so I did all that. We ran the Kickstarter, not really, you know, I'm good at marketing, but I'm not the best at marketing. And I never really know how things are going to go, but I pushed the best that I had. And yeah, we were able to raise 10 grand, get about 2,000 decks printed and kickstart that thing, man. And it's just like, ever since then, the battle has been trying to learn how to actually build a real brand out. Yeah. And I sell them really well on Amazon, because people are like searching for affirmation cards, and we rank on the first page if you type affirmations.
Right. That's cool.
But other than that, like trying to run it through like funnels outside on our own website, it's very, very hard. And I'm still in the middle of that. And I kind of look at it, you know, I want to reach as many people as possible, because I know that if they hold these cards, it's going to change their mindset. If they hide these around their place, they're going to have a bad day, and then they're going to pick one up and be like, oh, you're right. Like, let me switch my motivation back to the positive side. And it makes a big difference. It creates a giant spider web of positivity. It's not necessarily about the money to me, but at the same time, you know, money is an energy, right? We can do more of it, more amazing things if we have it. And so I don't sit and think like, oh, I don't need money or I don't want money. Like, money doesn't mean anything, because that's not true either. Mm-hmm. I really do bring in the law of attraction for abundance in that. Number one, abundance, experience in life, I believe, is the greatest thing that you can have abundance of. Number two, definitely monetary gain, because, well, it leads to everything else.
It empowers you to be able to have those experiences, or to, you know, to have all those things that you.
Oh, dude, it's an energy. Really after.
Yeah.
If you're a big-hearted philanthropist who likes to do things to change the world, then money allows you to do that on a bigger scale. If you're an asshole who likes to rev your diesel truck peeling out of strip club parking lots, you know, it's just going to allow you to buy a nicer truck to rev and peel out of more expensive strip clubs. Like,
better strip clubs. Yeah, you know, exactly, I mean, man. Yeah, it's called cash flow, right?
True. That's a good way to look at it.
I had never actually thought of it that way. So you've enlightened me in this conversation. So now, wait till I tell my wife that. She's going to blow her freaking mind. And then I'm going to say cash flow, and she's going to be like, no.
Cash flow. I'm going to have to go back and modify it so I can put that on the end.
There you go. That's my gift to you, man.
It's interesting, like that type of thing, just using these like life things, bringing them into an affirmation. It does change the way you think about it. Like,
yeah,
people in Kentucky, it was like, how do you bridge the gap? And there's nothing wrong with being in Kentucky. It was just, I was in Eastern Kentucky, and it's very hard to bring this type of industry into it. It was like, how do you tell someone that this affirmation actually works? Like, you have to bring some kind of like humor into it that's in their language.
Right.
I figured out how to do that. And then I started seeing them being like, oh, that was really funny. Well, now what does that actually mean?
You know, that reminds me of,
that's deep, you know,
that reminds me of because I had someone on the show years ago who was talking about of all things translations, right? And she was talking about localization, which is this idea of, you know, you're not just translating something into a different language. You want to make sure it fits the region that that book's going to be in. Like, if you, whatever the colloquialisms are, that sort of thing. That's what that kind of reminds me of, is you're localizing this information to fit that specific region, that group of people. Because wherever we are, man, it changes how we perceive the world around us, because the, you know, the industries that are there and all that stuff.
And just like, there's so many people out there that use affirmations and understand, but then there's a lot more people that don't, because they think it's just kind of like the secret stuff. Like, it doesn't really work. But when you do it in the language that we've been able to do it, it opens this up. It opens the world of affirmations up to everybody.
Yeah.
And it's cool. It's a really cool thing. And I think that we're going to see a lot more of that. I mean, you kind of already do with people. You like, you get on Amazon, it's like every word has, or every book has some kind of profane word in it. Right.
And
like,
yeah,
it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be helpful or valuable, but we've been able to do a little bit of mixing that in with really good witty humor that makes people think deeply. And I think that it's been cool. It's fun. I like doing
it. That's fantastic, man. I like that you seem so focused on building something that's actually going to be, have a positive impact on the world around you. You know, I'm a big fan of that.
Why else, you know, why else do we come to this amazing spaceship called Earth?
Yeah, man. Cause I know I'm guilty of falling into that trap of, you know, it's all about how much stuff do I have when I kick it? You know, how big is my bank account when I fall over one day? And did I win? And who cares?
I had a big struggle with that for a long time. And then when I left Kentucky and quit my job, I sold everything that I had. I used to have a 4-bedroom house. I had 5 fish tanks. I had 5 TVs. Like, and I moved into basically what fit into my car.
Yeah.
And ever since then, it's been like remarkable, a lot more focused. But then it's hedonic adaptation again. Like, you get in that position and you still start running into similar problems.
Right.
And it wasn't until I went down and did some plant medicine ceremonies and some ayahuasca stuff that just completely shifted my perspective on everything when it comes to materials.
Yeah.
And not necessarily that materials are good or bad, but they are just like money, right? They are just tools. So it doesn't necessarily matter what you have. It's more about, does it have value, and does it contribute to what you're in per library of 6,000 books that all are right in alignment with who you want to be. And it's amazing, but you can have a library of 6,000 books that are talking about, like, you know, how to milk a donkey wings or something.
I was wondering where it was going to end up. Once you started, I thought.
All right, but then I couldn't think of anything else.
Yeah, I knew it was going somewhere fun. Yes. And that's, you know, I'm going to try to loop this back to, cause you know, the audience is mostly writers. And I think that where this comes is, like, we start this career generally, I think a lot of people get into writing and publishing thinking they're going to be the next Stephen King or the next John Grisham or something. And they're going to own a castle, you know, an imported castle in Florida, like Tony Robbins or something like that, you know? And I don't think that that's impossible by any means. I think that it's entirely possible to have that kind of life. But I feel like that's not the way you get there isn't by saying, I'm going to write until I'm rich. It's more about how much value are you bringing to the world with what you're creating. And then that value gets reciprocated that's the way it's worked for me anyway.
100%, man. Like, you're dead on. I don't even have to add anything to it. Like, it's really just, if you follow your highest purpose and your highest excitement, like, mm-hmm. I think that money will follow, you know. It's like, if you're doing what you're here to do, if you're doing what's in alignment with you, that doesn't cause you misery and stress, like, your body and your mind tell you if you're not in alignment.
Yeah.
You know, when you're out doing things that you love, you don't feel like you're sick. You know, you don't feel like you're suffering. And there's a reason for that, because your body works with you and your gut works with you. It's just like, most of us only, we get stuck in our head and our heart. There's like it's like junior high prom between the two of them, right? Where the head's like, I don't know, baby, I'm worried. And the heart's like, just trust me, honey. And the head's like, there's too much stuff going on. And the heart's like, oh, it'll all be beautiful. But like at the whole time, your gut is in the corner, like smoking a cigar. And it's like, if you guys would just shut the hell up, I'll show you where the treasure map is. And you forget about that intuition. Like if it excites you and you truly love it, then follow it. And that, you know, the monetary stuff, if you are open to receiving it, will come into your life between people, networking, opportunities, all that good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. I want to ask you about your podcast, because I was kind of scanning through your, some of the episodes. You've got some on your site. You guys are really great. You have some interesting guests. Tell me how that got started. I know you talked a little bit about this already, but tell me specifically about Never Stop Peaking.
Yeah, Jared, you should listen to that Jared episode if you want. This guy, you should have him on your show for sure. Do you know?
I'll take anybody you want to throw my way. So
I'll talk. Actually, maybe I should ask you about this after the show. Do you know Chase Reeves?
Not
Fizzle. He does the internet marketing stuff at Fizzle. Well, okay. He lives with a guy named Chase, who's also brilliant. They're both kind of amazing that you should talk to. But Never Stop Peaking, dude. So I did the first podcast, and I kind of explained how that got started before. And then I got away from it because I needed to focus on writing and building some things out, and I wanted to rebrand the way that I was going to do my stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And I love podcasting. And it was really hard for me to figure out how to make it sustainable. And I learned how to do a lot of systemizing because of the first one.
Right.
But I decided that when I shut that first one down, that if I came back and I launched a new one, that it was going to be just like higher consciousness type of conversations that I really, really want to be in, with not necessarily like a particular subject, but all of it is very inspirational, but it goes really, really deep. And it was an area of my life that I felt like I was missing, because I'm not always around people that I can have super deep conversations with.
Right.
And it was a way for me to kind of put that into the world and start trying some different things out. So there's a lot of really, really deep, long conversations on there. They go up to 2-3 hours sometimes. But there's also great nuggets at the beginnings of me just like ranting motivational stuff, kind of like the same material that's in my cards. And then a lot of music stuff that I do in collaboration. So it is about personal optimization in the higher consciousness of the mind, but we do get into a lot of talks with psychedelics and habit forming and just anything that you can do to keep yourself in alignment with your higher self. So it's not nearly as big as my old show because I don't market it as much. And Apple really changed a lot of stuff since I launched the last one.
Yeah.
But it's very cool. It's kind of like just a warming, amazing thing to have and a great place to come and talk to people. So,
yeah, that's a lot of that is the same reason I started this show. So I started this show mostly give me an excuse to talk to, you know, guys like you or Honore or, you know, authors I really dig and follow. So, and there's a lot to be gained from having those conversations, and sharing them with other people is just kind of a bonus.
Dude, it is. Every time anything that I can do touches somebody and it helps them in a positive way, it makes me so happy. But at the same time, it's like, we're getting that from everybody else too. Like, I don't know how many of your episodes I've listened to and just been like, like there's a nugget right there. Right. And, it's a cool thing to have on both ends, like being somebody who does one, but also just being an audience member who loves podcasts as well. And all the things that we can share from it and media in general, but it's a good game to be playing.
It is a good game, and one I play a lot.
All right, man, good at it.
So we are at time, unfortunately, because I've enjoyed the hell out of this chat, but why don't you tell people where they can find you and Never Stop Peaking and all the good stuff that you're doing?
Yeah, my personal hub is just heatharmstrong.com. Heath is spelled like Heath Ledger, the legend. And ragecreate.com is where we have the decks. And then if you want to watch the promo video for it, it's actually pretty funny. I'm proud of it. At least.
I didn't
see
the video.
Page at ragecreate.com. And yeah, and Never Stop Peeking's on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. Just search my name or search Never Stop Peeking. It should show up. It's like a space background.
Yeah.
And I'm on Instagram, basically is my only social place. I'm on Facebook too, but at Heath Fist Pumps. And we also have a Rage Create account that's really bad right now, but I'm revamping it, so it should be better.
I hear you. I have I've been peeling away from Facebook and Twitter and things like that. I just
It's tough.
It's all so negative now, man. I just can't do it anymore.
It is, but I have like I'm a huge Graham Hancock fan.
Yeah, same here. I've read. I don't know. You might even be able to see him. I've got like four of his books back on that shelf back there.
I got to meet him like on his book tour ago.
I'm jealous.
And I talked to him a little bit about ayahuasca. I actually got to talk to him for a while, but then I also run a Graham Hancock fan page on Instagram. And like, that's really what I get excited for.
Okay.
Yeah. I just jumped on there and we're starting it out and like, it's going pretty well.
See, so I wish we had talked about that before the show. Cause then we could have talked about Graham Hancock and all the Fingerprints of the Gods and all that stuff, dude. Man.
Another episode, I guess.
Another episode.
Come on my show and talk about it if you want, because it's a great subject.
Well, I'll come on your show. I'll be there. All right, man.
One of my buddies who helps run the account with me, because he's real into it too. I mean, everybody should be. Guy's a legend.
You should pay attention to Graham Hancock. I've said this for years. Half my books are probably based on things I've read in Graham Hancock.
Dude. It's the realest of the real, man, you know?
I agree.
So good.
I agree.
So.
Some people don't agree, but I agree. I agree with you. All right, man. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Thank you so much for being on the show, man. I'm 100% genuinely happy that you reached out.
Yeah, big love, dude. I love making these connections, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, me too. All right. You stick around for a second. Everybody else, you're probably hearing the Groovy Bridge music. You may dance in place at will, and if you stick around, I'm sure to have some short, sweet nugget of wisdom after the break. So we'll see you on the other side. Hey, you're looking for a jump on your own indie author career, but kind of confused about where to start? I got the place for you. Check out Draft to Digital. That's where you're going to be able to convert your manuscript, distribute it worldwide online, and get help the whole way from the best author support there is. Trust me on this one. So go check out Draft to Digital at drafttodigital.com/wordslinger. Hey, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Heath Armstrong. I had a great time chatting with him. What a great way to start a new year. And I don't know what your plans are for 2020. Are you setting goals? I like to set goals just like everybody else. I posted the other day on my blog, which is the Written World blog, on my website at kevinthomason.com. I posted about how I don't do resolutions, how I do, instead I like to do commitments. And I know it sounds like a semantic kind of difference, but what I do is decide, this is what I'm going to commit to this year. My word for the year, by the way, is commitment. Commitment is something we tend to shy away from, we tend to be a little bit afraid of, but I wanted to encourage people to, you know, the resolution thing, it's like, you know, we stack too many things on top of each other, right? I'm going to lose weight this year. I'm going to lose 50 pounds. I'm going to go to the gym every day. I'm going to, you know, write a book in 10 days or whatever. We tend to overstack all that stuff. Commitment, though, is something you can prove. Like commitment you show by doing it, by actually doing it. So instead of talking about it, I encourage you not to talk about this, this thing that you want to do, but instead use that energy, go out and start doing it. So if you're going to write a book this year, if you haven't already, if you're going to write a book in a month or 10 days or whatever your time frame is, don't tell anyone you're going to do it. Just go do it. Start now. Don't wait. And then knock it out. And then tell everybody, look what I did. Because the energy comes from, you know, that statement. It comes from, if you say, look what I'm going to do, you've spent the currency. Okay. You've blown your wad. You've used up all the energy that could help motivate you. But if you show people what you did, you get to reclaim that energy and then use it on the next project. So don't talk to people about your goals. You can talk to some people. There are some people who can encourage you and help you. But for the most part, you really shouldn't tell people your goals. Just go out and commit to them and do them. And then show them the commitment. Even if you haven't accomplished the goal yet, but you can demonstrably show the commitment, that will help motivate and energize you. So that is my parting advice and wisdom for this episode of the Wordslinger Podcast. Some real quick stuff. Check out, I just did, like earlier today, 9 a.m. today precisely, I did a premiere on YouTube. Only 4 people showed up, but that's okay. And I was one of them. That's okay too. but it was the premiere for the video version of my Written World podcast, which you can find when you go to writtenworld.us. Doesn't matter what part of the world you're from, just go to writtenworld.us. It'll take you to, right now, it probably takes you to my homepage, kevinthompson.com. But if you look around on the menu or scroll down the page, you'll find the podcast. Several audio episodes are already up. Got a new one releasing next week. This is the first video version, and I'm going to go back and do videos for each of them as I go. I'm getting a grip on how to handle video and that sort of thing. I want to do more of that, including for this show. So be on the lookout. Things are coming. Things are changing. So go check out writtenworld.us. If you can, if you don't mind, go to YouTube. Search for me. Find my channel. This is the easiest way I've found so far. I'll try to put a link in the show notes of this episode. But go subscribe to me on YouTube. I'm trying to hit 1,000 subscribers. There's also the Wordslinger podcast channel, which you can also subscribe to since you are a listener. I'm going to be starting that up again. I fell behind. I know. I didn't quite fall behind. I sort of abandoned it because it just was so much extra work. But I'm getting systems in place to make this easier. So, but if you will go and subscribe at least to the Kevin Tomlinson YouTube channel, it will help me out a lot. And tell other folks about it. I'm going to start posting all kinds of stuff on that channel. I've already started, and I think it's going to grow as we go. And I can't wait to see what turns of it. So help me reach my 1,000 subscriber first benchmark so that I can start doing things like monetizing and using some of the other features, putting links in the videos and things like that. So that will help me out a lot, and I really appreciate it. You can find practically everything I'm talking about if you go to kevintomlinson.com or wordslingerpodcast.com or writtenworld.us. We got a whole slew of them now. And stay tuned in the future. Roland Denzel and I are still working on the launch of indieauthorblueprint.com. This is a lot of URLs for you to remember. I got some big, amazing stuff coming this year. And so just get ready. You're going to hear a whole lot of URLs. So God bless you. Take care of yourself. I hope you're having a wonderful new year so far. And I'm my very best for you. I wish you the best. Pray for the best for you over 2020 and beyond. I hope you have a healthy, happy, safe year. And I can't wait to see what comes up. Can't wait to see what we discover together. So take care. I'll see you next time.
Wordslinger.